are again doing another podcast from Wigton, Scotland's national book town. Something a little special today. We will be talking a little bit about books, but we won't be following any format because we've got a special guest with us this evening, and I'll just ask her to introduce herself, and then we'll have a little chat about what brought her to Wigton and the very interesting background that she's going to tell us a little about.
I'm Caroline, I'm Swiss, and I'm living currently on a North Sea island off the German coast.
Called
Juist. It's one of the East Frisian islands, 8 kilometres from the German coast.
And what brought you there?
Well, I was in between two jobs. And the new job I was going to take on wasn't exactly what I had hoped for. It was a job to be a proofreader. And I couldn't really imagine myself sitting at a desk 5 days a week for 8 hours. And so in panic, before I started negotiating the contract with my new employer, I started to Google what else there is on the market.
Yeah.
And I must, because life on an island has always appealed to me. And so I must have Googled jobs
on an island.
Mm-hmm. And since I had lived in Hamburg for 3 years in the 90s, and I liked the area very much, I must have Googled
and
jobs.
And I take it you're a German speaker.
Yes, I'm a German speaker. My mother tongue is Swiss German. But of course, we learn German at school. It's a second language.
Mm-hmm. So you Googled, and what did you find?
Well, I found an ad looking for someone who runs the cinema on a tiny island. And I'm a book lover, but also a film lover.
Mm-hmm.
And the life on an island, as I mentioned, is very appealing to me. So I wrote, I handed in my application on a Saturday. And on the Monday, they called me out of the blue for me, because I thought, well, they were not interested in me. Or
probably never hear about it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. As happens so often. And then right away I knew that my current life would change.
Huge change.
Incredibly huge change.
So they called you up on the Monday, and yes. Then did you go and visit the island?
Yes, because I had never heard of the island before, mm-hmm. Never been there. On the Friday, I flew up to Bremen and met my future boss on one of the islands. Then we had a talk, and the next morning I flew from one island to the next island where the cinema is. Mm-hmm. And I had a look at the cinema, I had a look at the island. It's a beautiful island, and I had a week to decide, and after a couple of days I knew that I would move.
So did you stay on the island while you were making your decision?
Yes. Well, I was at the cinema for a whole day.
Uh-huh.
And had a really close look at it, how everything works, what needs to be done, what my job would be. And I think I knew I wanted to stay.
That's what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how soon after the application had been submitted did you actually move to the island?
5 weeks later.
Right.
Because then the high season would start, and as they said, they needed me there. And of course, if you hear they need you, you do the utmost to comply. And I had, or still have, an apartment in Zurich. It's not mine. I'm the main tenant, but I'm allowed to sublet it.
Sublet it. So that's
which
what you've
I did.
Done. Yep. So you're still the tenant of an apartment in Zurich.
Yes.
Did they provide accommodation for you on the island?
Yes, they have to. but accommodation is scarce there, and so the job goes with the apartment, or vice versa, the apartment goes with the job.
Right.
And should I ever decide to do something else, to take on another job on the island, I would lose the apartment.
The expression we use is tied. It's a tied property, so it's tied to the job.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the island, because I imagine that most people listening to this podcast will have no idea where this island is. We'll all have to rush to look at maps. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. It's one of the seven East Frisian islands. And it's, let's say, off the coast, not too far from Bremen. People might know Bremen or might have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to the southwest of Hamburg. And there is no traffic. There are no cars. There are no vehicles on the island. It's nature reserve. It's UNESCO World Nature, what's it called? Heritage.
Mm-hmm. Population?
Population, about 1,600.
People with strong family connections to the island, or people who have chosen, as you have done, to move there? And
indeed, a quarter of the population has come from somewhere else. We
right.
have 400 Polish people, because the island itself is just for tourism. We have nothing else than tourism.
So
nothing
no
grows.
Manufacturing, no agriculture?
No.
So does everything have to come in then?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes everything quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sandy island, so nothing grows there. Nothing can be produced. And there have never been cars. So there are only bicycles, horse-drawn carriages. Of course, special services like the GPs, the ambulance, the fire brigade, they have a car or a vehicle of some sort.
But nobody else?
No.
So can you tell us a little bit about what your duties are? What a bit about the cinema itself, your clientele, the films that are shown?
Yes. The cinema is one of the highlights of the island. Well, probably I'm biased, but it's an old cinema from 1948. And of course, it attracts mainly the tourists, because the residents, they work a lot. They haven't got time to go to the cinema. In high season, it can get quite full, especially on a rainy day. We show four films a day, two children's films and two films for adults, and we change the program every 2 days.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, really.
Yes, it makes it more
And is it a 12-month season, or do you close over the winter months?
We do. The season usually starts mid-March and goes through to beginning of November. When we close, reopen again over the Christmas New Year period for 10 days and close again.
And do you think that the cinema there is part of the draw for tourists? Do you think people come because it's something a bit different?
Not just because of the cinema, but it's a nice side effect that they have the chance to visit such a beautiful old cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I mean, if it rains on the island, there's not much to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cafes, but they quickly fill up on a rainy day. So the cinema is the best option.
Yeah. And are you the only projectionist, or is there somebody else?
I have a colleague. We started both in 2016, and we do everything. So we sell tickets, we sell ice cream and popcorn and drinks, and we also do, of course, the technical side. So the
yes, but I think it's not just soft drinks and coffee that you serve, is it?
No, we also serve cocktails, long drinks. at very competitive price. That's why sometimes people come in, just have a cocktail and go without
watching a film. And do you get off the island very much?
No, we haven't got time during the season, so between March and November.
So is it pretty full on 7 days a week?
Yes, it is. And what we do, what everyone does, is we go off the island in the winter months, because usually one has to go to the dentist or go to a doctor for a checkup. So that's what we do. We have a ferry which goes once a day. So goes and comes back.
So you can get off the island any day of the week then, if needs be?
Not any day, because depending on the tides.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, then. We are dependent on the tides. So maybe the ferry goes, let's say, at 11 and comes back 2 hours later. So there's not enough time to run your errands or go to the doctor. So we have other options. There, we can take the plane. There are small planes.
Is there an airstrip? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's an airstrip. 6-seater planes, Cessnas, I believe. And then from the airport, you take a horse-drawn carriage into town. Or you walk, which takes about 40 minutes. Or take the bicycle. But of course, usually when you take the ferry in the morning and in the afternoon you come back by plane or in the evening, you haven't got your bicycle there because you took the ferry.
So logistics can be quite problematic. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you, what kind of films are shown? You said children's films, but the adult films, is it commercial, art house?
We try to appeal to everyone. So I would say it's 50-50 art house movies, but also, bigger blockbusters, of course, especially in the high season in July and August when the island is
I suppose
really
realistically
full.
That's what brings in the money, doesn't
yes,
it? And
absolutely.
What's the seating? How many does the cinema seat?
We have 230 seats.
And is there a small like main town in the island?
Or? Yes. Which is called Used.
Right.
So also the town is called Used.
Can you give us an idea of the size of the island?
Yes, it's 17 kilometers long.
Right.
So we have a beach 17 kilometers long indeed. And it's about 500 meters wide.
So narrow.
Yes, very narrow. It's like a needle.
Long.
Needle in the North Sea. And one side where the beach is, we are facing the North Sea, and the other side towards the coast, we are in the Wadden Sea, where everything falls dry in low tide.
Right. So tidal area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
With a causeway, or just what's the distance from the mainland to the island?
It is 8 kilometers only.
Right. Mm,
so. But of course, since the sand, the underground moves constantly, depending on the tides, on the wind, on the waves, the ferry really has to find her way through the Wadden Sea. And this takes usually about 1.5 hours.
So not a straight point to point.
Not at all. It meanders through the sea to find its way.
So you've been there since 2016?
Right.
Have you any plans to leave the island, or are you...?
No, not for the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm quite happy there.
And you've told us, obviously, that it's principally a holiday destination. Tourists from where? Mostly German or Dutch? Or...
Mostly German. There are some Dutch people who come by boat, by sailing boat.
Right.
We have a small marina. You don't hear many other languages. Of course, there are families from Used who have relatives and they come to visit. So they might come from Norway. There is a Norwegian family who comes every summer, or relatives from the US. But apart from that, you hardly hear any other language than German.
German.
Yes.
Now, this is obviously an island which is a holiday destination. And before we come on maybe to talk about some films and some books, you're obviously in Wigton because you're here on holiday.
Exactly.
And could you just say why you chose to come to Wigton and what your experience has been so far, apart from the awful weather,
which
we've been having this week, but you'll be used to that.
Exactly. The weather is similar, unused. Actually, I would call it a working holiday almost. I heard or read about the open book about 5 years ago. I believe I read about it in a daily newsletter I received from Zurich, and there they mention what's on that day, so new exhibitions or new restaurants that have opened or new films coming out, and also about things about culture in general.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I must have read about Wigtown in that newsletter. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately put my name on the waiting list. And now this vacancy came up. There was a cancellation apparently, and I snatched it up and was really happy when
And can you just tell, I don't know if we've actually discussed this in any of our podcasts before, but the Open Book is a bookshop but run by people who come on holiday. They stay in accommodation above the shop and they run the shop really during whatever hours they choose. And what's your experience been of being in the shop?
It's fantastic. For someone who loves books, who loves reading, it's a unique opportunity to do that for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and without prior formation or experience in a bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a lot of freedom, so you can do practically what you want. You mentioned that one can determine the opening times.
Yes.
And there are three windows, so I can organize the window display, I can choose a topic and search the books in the bookshop, and it's very creative, and the people who come in are very interested in the concept.
Yes. And are these visitors to Wigton?
Yes, it seems so.
But do you also get locals coming in just to say hello?
Exactly, that's what I wanted to say. The residents are very, very welcoming, and they come in, say hello, who are you, where do you come from? They're really interested, which is amazing because apparently it has been open for quite a long time already. And I would imagine that they are a bit tired of this constant change, but they are not, on the contrary.
Mm-hmm. Because I suppose, as I know, because I have one of the bookshops in the town and it just happens to be next door mm-hmm. to the Open Book. But there's just a constant flow of people from really not quite all over the world, but lots of people from America, Canada, Australia, mainland Europe, obviously, who've all got a story to tell and all have come for various reasons. Some, like you, Caroline, have come on their own. Other people come with their families, or people come to meet up with a friend that they haven't seen for ages. So a real mix of people coming to the town. And of course, yesterday I had met Caroline earlier on this week. Coincidentally, a gentleman came in who happened to be Swiss. And of course, I said, you must go next door and meet Caroline. You get these really odd coincidences sometimes. People coming to Wigton really from all over the world. Just wish we could get more people coming to Wigton.
Yes.
So, you've enjoyed your time so far. You're going to be here over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave before the new year.
Exactly, because I have to work on the 1st of January.
All right, so you've got to be home by the 1st.
Yes.
Right, when we met earlier on to have a chat about this, we were talking, I think, about books and films. That's what I was going to ask you. Is there a bookshop on the island?
There is one, actually, right next to the cinema.
Right.
It's tiny. It's really tiny. And the bookshop owner is going to retire in about 2 years'
time. Well, there's an opportunity for somebody.
Yes, indeed.
So anybody want to get out their maps, look up, find out where this place is, do the sums, there's an opportunity there. But Caroline might get in ahead of you. But we were talking earlier on today about films and books, and mm-hmm. you read the book first and then you go and see the film. Are you disappointed, or do you make the concessions? That's what I should ask you. Do you get much chance to see the films? That
not very much, because we are working all the time. But if there's a film which really interests me, then I take my time off, so to speak, to watch it. And of course, the customers or the visitors who come in, they want my recommendations. So I do have to know if I can recommend a film or not, or what it is about, yes. etc. So sometimes I just watch the beginning and the end, but if I'm lucky, and I can watch the whole film.
Well, you probably know we've got our nearest cinema is in Newton Stewart, which is a town just about 6 miles to the north of here. And that's a community-run cinema. And I have to say, from my perspective, very well run, very friendly, good value tickets, mm-hmm. and a really good selection of films. Not as many, clearly, as you're involved in, but enough to keep the interest of the community, both teenagers and children and adults as well. So we're really pleased to have that as an asset and a facility for the town. When we were talking about books and films, I suppose one of the first things that came to mind for me being in Galloway was John Buchan's The 39 Steps. I don't know if you're aware of the film.
No,
well, there's been various versions. I'm probably talking to some of the initiated here, because there was the Alfred Hitchcock one in 1939 with Robert Donat, and then there was one in 1978, I think, with Robert Powell. They've all got slightly different endings, and they don't obviously follow the ending in John Buchan's book. But basically, it's the innocent man on the run. And I was thinking about Jeffrey Household's Rogue Mail, and a serial that used to be on the television in this country called The Fugitive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of that. So that was one of the films that I was thinking about. The other one was The Remains of the Day.
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful.
Book, which is being read just now on Radio 4 Extra. Mm-hmm. One of the radio stations that we have here, BBC, but the film as well, of course. So you would recommend that if people haven't watched that one to date. It's a 1993 film, I think. It's amazing
Probably.
To think that it's yeah. that old.
Yes.
And it had Emma Thompson.
Exactly.
And James Fox played Earl Dartington, is it? And I love Darting, and Anthony Hopkins was
exactly.
the butler. When I knew that we were going to be doing this podcast today, few customers in, it's been a quiet week in Wigton, but when the customers did come in this afternoon, I asked for recommendations, and one of the books that was recommended was Wuthering Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there have been various versions of
yes.
that one, including the 1939 one with Laurence Olivier and Meryl Oberon. But it was really strange. The two women who came in and mentioned it were actually travelling from Northern Ireland today to Howth in
right.
Yorkshire, where the Brontes lived. And they were going to visit the parsonage tomorrow. And I suggested to them that if they were really Keene and Wuthering Heights, then they should do the walk up to the desert. It's a derelict farmhouse called Top Withens, and that is, it has been suggested, is the model for Wuthering Heights.
Right.
And it sits quite high up in the moor and is quite atmospheric.
Well, talking about the Bronte sisters, or in my case now, Emily Bronte, the Jane Eyre book and films.
Charlotte Bronte, yeah.
Was it Charlotte?
She's Charlotte Bronte. Emily was Wuthering Heights.
Right.
Charlotte, yeah.
I've seen, I think, every film, every version of it, yeah. of Jane Eyre. That was very interesting to see the different versions of, from the beginning to the last. The last I haven't seen, actually.
Yeah.
The last version is supposed to be terrible.
Yeah, it's interesting because I obviously, like so many people of my generation, read that book when I would be early teens. So we're really talking 60 years ago now. And I just thought Jane Eyre was wonderful.
Yes.
And a real hero. But I read the book again when I was about 60. And I had a completely different reaction to it. I thought, what a prig. I thought she came over as rather a priggish person. And then I started to think, why on earth were you giving Rochester the time of day? And of course, you were looking at the mad woman in the attic as well.
Yes.
Really quite interesting to go back to something that has been in some ways quite formative in your early years, but looking at it from the perspective of having lived your life really and had lots of experiences that then maybe inform your view of a book then. You mentioned one just before we went on air, as it were, Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, have you seen the film and read the book?
Yes, I read the book first, which I liked very much. I thought it was very atmospheric. And then I saw the film as well. I watched it because, well, actually at the cinema it was a big success and people loved, well, not so much the story, but the pictures, how it was depicted. Yeah, it was something else, of course. It wasn't close to the book, didn't follow the book that much, and it was a bit kitschy.
Yeah, well, I haven't read the book, but it's been a great seller in the shop, secondhand and new. I wasn't impressed with the film at all. I thought it was visually rather beautiful.
Yes.
But I just thought that the story was really quite improbable. I thought, no, that couldn't have been how, that wouldn't have worked, I thought. One book that I really did love and saw the film years ago and had the same reaction to the film was The Kite Runner. Right. I thought The Kite Runner was a terrific book. And I also enjoyed his second book, Khalid Hosseini, A Thousand Splendid Sons, like both those books. But I thought that the film version of The Kite Runner was very disappointing. Any other book just before we and film that?
I love the Harry Potter books, I must admit. I love the books. I also like the films, especially the first and the second one. And what I found that they got darker and darker and darker. And for example, at cinema, they should have, in my opinion, they should have raised the age for children to watch it or to watch the films, because they were scary.
But don't you think that children quite like being scared? Or did you think they just moved beyond the bounds? I don't know. I haven't seen any of the films.
Yes,
and I only read the first book, The Philosopher's Stone.
Yes.
And I didn't read any other.
The rest.
I'm not really a fantasy reader.
Well, now
and I'm probably missing out because people say that the worlds that are created are really interesting and they're intricate. But I find dealing with reality hard enough without having to try and cope with another with another world. Anyway, well, I'm really delighted that you were able to talk to us in this podcast. I hope that those who do get round to listening to it have enjoyed it. Very interesting change of life for you, completely different lifestyle. I suppose all of us in some little secret part would like to go and live on an island, but most of us aren't really brave enough, or it might be foolhardy enough to go. But it's worked out very well for you, clearly, Caroline, with no plans to change your life in the foreseeable future. And we're so glad that you came to Wigton, and we're very pleased to know that you're having a really nice time.
Thank you very much, Ruth.